Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Amy Sherald is artist in residence at the Creative Alliance in Baltimore. She's known for her life-size oil portraits. She volunteers to teach art at the Baltimore City Detention Center. And this past spring, she won a prestigious prize from the National Portrait Gallery, the Outwin Butcher Award. She is the first woman ever to win it, and she was featured on the cover of Smithsonian Magazine. Amy Sherald is also part of an exhibition opening this weekend at the Creative Alliance in Baltimore, and she joins us in studio now. Amy Sherald, welcome to On the Record.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. The painting that won the National Portrait Gallery Award is a striking portrait of an elegant young woman. It's called Miss Everything, Unsuppressed Deliverance. First, would you describe it for our listeners?
It's a painting of a young woman. I would say she's somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. She's standing with her back straight in a very poised position, holding an oversized teacup. The dress is kind of stiff material, maybe made of polyester, and it's polka dots on one side and it's plain on the other. And then she has a short haircut, and on top of her head, there's a beautiful red cap that has kind of a feather material that's kind of perched on the top of it that's red and flouncy.
And what does the title mean? Miss Everything, parens, unsuppressed deliverance, close parens.
Well, my sister actually names my paintings, which I really enjoy because I can send her these images and she, in a way, interprets them for me. It makes them make sense. So like when she shot that back to me, she shot back unsuppressed deliverance at first, and I was like, that's exactly it, because there's a time when in your life, I think, as a Black woman, where I came to understand myself and who I was and stopped seeing myself the way that my community saw me or the way that society saw me, and began to look at myself and internalize myself through my own eyes, so to appreciate my own beauty and my own way of being and my own aesthetic. So kind of being delivered from that. And then also when thinking about the way that Black women were portrayed within the art historical narrative, Miss Everything is very self-satisfied and she's self-made. And so there's that narrative there that I'm kind of presenting to the art world and hoping that it's interjected into the art historical narrative.
Miss Everything is African American, but her skin is painted in tones of gray, as are most of your portraits, mm-hmm. maybe all of your portraits. Mm-hmm. Why?
In the beginning, I was thinking about ways that I could create work that would not be marginalized. I feel like a lot of African Americans, when we make work, it tends to be placed in the genre of identity and you kind of dealt with in that way. So it's hard to create something that's interjected in the art historical narrative and have value placed on it in a secure way without
so
it's sort of
labeled, oh, this is a Black portrait.
Yeah, without kind of- it being like nuance, right? So like we're talking about identity, so now this artist is important. I'm trying to make work that is important no matter where it's hanging and to matter who is looking at it.
Why the fascination with portraits?
I think for me, because growing up, I was born in 73, so there were no computers. So I would be at home with my encyclopedia looking at books that had paintings in them. And so it was just, what was art to me was like being able to render a figure. That's what drew me to it in the first place, I think, because for me, like being a master and like looking at these paintings that were drawn by Leonardo and Michelangelo and getting into art history and looking at those paintings, like that's what these art history books told me what mattered. Like these images matter, these artists matter. And so therefore I wanted to produce work like theirs. But swinging back now, I'm producing work that was kind of absent from the art historical narrative in a way. So interjecting my own story.
Your paintings have an otherworldly feel to them. Backgrounds are abstract, and when there are props, they can be really playful, like mm-hmm. that big teacup you mentioned, that oversized teacup or mm-hmm. the floppy red hat. What world are you depicting?
My own, I think. Also, when I graduated from Maryland Institute, And I was trying to figure out exactly what kind of work I wanted to make. I knew that the work I was making in graduate school wasn't sophisticated enough and couldn't take me in the direction that I wanted to go career-wise. And I was doing research and watching movies and looking at people and going to see exhibitions in New York. And I had gone to the library to look for images of Black people, possibly magicians or anything that represented our story outside the dominant historical narrative. But I really couldn't find anything. And I ended up checking out the movie Big Fish, which is one of my favorite films. And when I was watching that film, I kind of had an epiphany about, like, I'm painting the things that I want to see exist in the world.
Is it fair to conclude from that that part of what your art is about is confronting bias? I'm thinking of the wonderful portrait that you called Welfare Queen,
mm-hmm.
which is an elegant lady who is a queen wearing the white gloves and the...
I was influenced by my environment when I made that painting because my studio was on Lexington and Howard in the sub-basement artist studios. It was in the sub-basement of the Atrium condominiums, and I was living in Bolton Hill at the time, so I would walk up North Utah to my studio. And that painting is very much about that experience of wanting to not create an alternate reality, but there's places in this world where fantasy just doesn't exist, and it doesn't exist in the minds of the people that live in those spaces. So it was kind of thinking about those kinds of things.
That's Amy Sherald here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Amy Sherald is the 2016 winner of the National Portrait Gallery's prestigious Altwin Butchever Award. Her work is on display at the Creative Alliance starting this weekend. How did you first discover art?
I feel like it discovered me. I mean, I was quiet and shy when I was in elementary school, so... In the first grade, I remember I would stay inside. So, like, you could stay inside. My teacher's name was Miss Millett. You could stay inside with Miss Millett and get a piece of 5-cent bubble gum, or you could go out and have recess. So, like, I would always stay in and draw because it was solitary. I didn't have to talk to anybody.
And you got the bubble gum.
And I got the bubble gum, which was fine with me. So it's something that I always did. And I think in the beginning, I fell in love with what it meant to be an artist. So what it meant to be an artist for me, like in junior high school and high school, was like looking like Cyndi Lauper and like dressing weird and being able to express myself. But I honestly don't know what else I would be. It sounds strange to say it, but I feel like I was born to do this. It's the one skill that I have that I felt like if I didn't use it, I would be denying myself my own spirit, I guess, you know.
Doesn't sound strange to me. It seems to fit. You grew up going to schools where you were one of very few Black mm-hmm. pupils. How did that affect you, and how does that affect what you do now?
I think it affected me because I grew up wanting to make people feel comfortable. So through assimilation, there comes a sense of self-denial. In order to make people feel comfortable with your presence, you kind of deny who you are and act out who they are. So in a way, I kind of had an identity crisis because of that. So it's why I chose to go to a historically Black college, because I wanted that experience and I wanted to know what it was like just to be Amy and not be Black Amy.
And so how does that show up in your work now as an artist?
Originally, my portraits were about working that out, which is why a lot of the paintings that I was making 4-5 years ago, they are a little bit more theatrical. They have a performance kind of feel to them. Now I'm kind of settling back into the artwork that inspired me. Artists like Bo Bartlett, who is also from Columbus, Georgia, who I just recently got to meet. And people would consider him American realist. And I think I would like my work to be seen in that realm. Although a little more stylized, I'm telling stories of everyday American people.
When you were 30 years old, you were diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And mm-hmm. it was a big surprise.
Yeah, it was.
What happened?
I was a runner, and I always wanted to compete in a triathlon, so I started training. I started my first year of grad school really getting my head wrapped around, like, what my goal was going to be. And a long story short, I went to the doctor, and come to find out, even though I didn't have any symptoms, my heart function was at 18%. Mm. So I was just pretty lucky to still be alive, and, you know, running an 8-minute mile on 18% heart function was kind of fantastic.
And then eventually you had a heart transplant. How long did it take?
It was 10 years. I lived with it for 10 years. And I also think because I was an athlete, it was a lot easier for me. I didn't have a lot of the symptoms until finally when I was 38, everything just started to break down and I finally started to have these symptoms. And I remember, you know, living in Bolton Hill, there's this, you know, 3-story house, and like I would walk up to the third floor and have to sit down and like take a deep breath. And I'm like, okay, I think it's time. But at the same time, my brother was in the hospital in Columbus, Georgia, dying from lung cancer. Oh. I was going home like once a month. And the last time that I was down there with him, I realized that I wasn't feeling the same. So when I came back, they did the test and said that they were going to start with heart transplant evaluation, which is something I had tried to avoid basically the whole 10 years because in my mind it meant like the end of my life.
Oh, so that 10 years wasn't you waiting in expectation of a heart transplant.
No,
it was
just
you coping with.
In a way, I was waiting. I knew it was going to happen. Like somehow, you know, you have these knowings about your life. And I felt like I was going to die when I was 39 or 40. Like I felt like I had a good 10 years. At 18%, you know, technically that puts me at like 70 years old. You know, so I have a 70-year-old person's heart, living like a 30-year-old. Energy-wise, I'm active, I'm doing things, I'm still exercising to the best of my capability. You know, I'm having fun, I'm living my life, I'm drinking my Manhattans, you know. Yeah, I was on the list for all of 2 months.
I mean, the way the transplant system works, essentially you have to be very close to death before you're at the top of the list to get a heart transplant. So, and now I gather your health is good.
My health is fantastic, yeah.
But having had that experience of being so close to death, how does that affect your art?
How it affected my work is that I lived my life in a way that, and took risks in a way that most people would not have, because maybe knowing that I only had a limited amount of time gave me permission to not care about my future, planning for it, 401k, you know what I mean?
So like that kind of future.
So like when I was 36 and I got my last serving job and I'm still hustling, I just moved back from Columbus, Georgia, and hadn't painted for 5 years and like jumping back on that wagon and like trying to keep my mind on my path and not like what all my cohorts were doing from grad school, because everybody's circumstances are different. Life doesn't make sense at that point. You're 38 and you're like, okay, my friends are having babies, getting married and buying houses, and I'm waiting tables. I'm painting from 8 to 3, waiting tables from 3 to 12, and waking up and doing it over and over again. Like, is this going to pay off? And you're not sure. So a lot of people will stop and like make the comfortable choice, which is like, maybe I should start shooting for a tenure position at a university or a college because I'm getting older now. But in my mind, I was like, I've got nothing to lose. So, and it worked out, you know. So like when students ask for advice about how to make this happen, I mean, there's no one way, but you have to learn how to live with risk no matter whether you're might be dead in 10 years or not.
So is there a goal that you're focused on now, having won this terrific prize?
I mean, that is my goal, having my work in institutions where the artist who I grew up looking at and the artist who's, you know, taking classes in art history, and I'm learning about these works, and these books are telling me that these works are important, and now I'm hanging in the same buildings as these people. No art story can be told without including a certain group of people, right? And they're mostly all white men. So for me to be hanging in the National Portrait Gallery, that's basically everything I've been working towards. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Amy Sherald is this year's winner of the National Portrait Gallery's Outwin Butcher Award. She's also an artist in residence at the Creative Alliance in Baltimore. An exhibition featuring her work opens at the Creative Alliance tomorrow evening. It's called About Face, and it also includes the work of 3 other renowned artists. It's up through January 28th. We have details on the record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. Quick break now, and when we come back, we'll hear a Stoop story about another artist and her impassioned love affair with Starbucks. Stay with us.